Grace to you and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this afternoon's service is Ephesians chapter 3. And so far the text, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." This is our text. How deep, how broad, how high is the love of God? It surpasses all knowledge. As St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, "The love of God is beyond all compare and all understanding." And the love of God is his proper, his chief work, what he longs to do for us and for all of his creation. In fact, it is out of God's great love that he has created all things. God is also truly just, but to judge and to terrify is God's alien work, his strange work, as our Lutheran confessions so clearly teach. Because God is love, he has made the heavens and the earth, and all for mankind, and for the glory of his holy name. In that context, knowing that God's love is unfathomable, and knowing that we are rooted and grounded in that love, we begin thus this season of Lent. Ancient legend has King Midas as the man who turned anything that he touched into solid gold. Characteristic can be seen in the James Bond villain of Goldfinger. C.S. Lewis included Deathwater Island in his story, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where there was a pool whose water turned anything that touched it into gold. Now, truly, whatever would be turned into solid gold would instantly die. Such a touch would be one then of death. Now, this is the complete opposite of the one true God. He holds all things together by his mighty power. Without God's touch, without his constant intervention, all would truly die, especially now under the curse of sin. And we know that nothing that we can do can prevent death forever. So we are blessed here and now to live in the midst of this creation where God continues to hold all things together in life. It's truly striking when we do stop to consider exactly what does happen naturally in a broken and fallen world. Nothing improves over time when left untouched. The world does not become more tame, but less. Buildings become dilapidated without constant care. Food rots and decays. Wild animals become more aggressive and harmful. Illnesses and injuries worsen without proper medicine, procedures, and healing. Is this the kind of life that we want forever? Is such a place as this? Is this where we want to store up our treasure, to have our lives lived forever? The gospel reading for Ash Wednesday, our Lord Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." This should not be the place or which your hope for eternity rests. Jesus spoke those words from Matthew chapter 6 in the midst of his Sermon on the Mount in connection with his teaching on helping the poor, on praying, and on fasting. Those are important practices that should be indeed practiced by all those who bear the name of Christ in this world. However, they should not be done for the sake of the glory and the honor of this life. For Jesus said that those who practice such philanthropy publicly will have their reward only here and now. Their treasure then would be stored here in this place where moth and rust destroy. So the good works that we do perform as called upon by Christ as his Christians are what our neighbors need, but they will not gain us anything for eternity. Certainly do help the poor. Pray for those who are in need. Fast to practice discipline in this life, but do so with right and proper motivation, out of love and care for your neighbor, as God does all of this for you. What you do for the least of these, Jesus said, you do for me. And though you and I have no knowledge whatsoever that we are doing it for Christ, that is what then we do. That is the secret work that God is at work doing within us through Jesus. The Father sees this, and he rewards it in heaven. So how do we do that? How do we properly do these things that Christ speaks of? Our sinful natures do not permit us to do anything with true and total selflessness. And so we are driven more and more inward to evaluate our sincerity of faith and our own hearts. Are we holding those good and right and proper motivations? How can we be sure? The deeper we dive into our own understanding, our own hearts, the darker and scarier the experience truly is. The totality of our depravity and of our corruption is revealed in the very depths and darkness of our own sinful nature. St. Paul rightly confessed that no one is good, not even one. And Jesus taught the very devastating truth that all evil and wickedness in this world comes from within us, from our own hearts. Who then can save us from this body of death? Where can we possibly turn for our help? There is no hope within, and there is no help from each other. The only answer, the only hope, and the only solution is Jesus. Oh, love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and majesty, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortals' sake. Thus we are drawn back to the beginning, to the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternally begotten Son of God, descended from his great throne on high at the behest of his beloved Father to take on our mortal nature, to do so into his divine nature, as we confess in the words of the Athanasian Creed. Fully God and fully man, the Lord Jesus Christ walked the road of this life that we are called to walk. Adam's sin back in the garden destroyed the entirety of that road for us, and we continue to do destruction to that road in our own sins all throughout our lives. The path of life and salvation cannot come from us, and it is found nowhere within us. No amount of faith can believe something that does not exist. So first, God himself must act, and God himself did act. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is the love of God that compelled him to send Jesus to suffer and die in our stead upon the cross for our forgiveness. God acted first. God always acts first. And we were created because God chose to act out of love. We were then saved by Jesus because God chose to act for us out of love. You believe in Christ because God created that faith in Jesus in you through his holy word. You are brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ because he baptized you into his holy name. And you continue as his holy family in faith, in and through his body and blood, as he gifts that to you, the bread and wine of his holy supper. The great love of God is truly a great and deep mystery. We cannot even begin to understand the depth and magnitude of God's love, nor do we have to. We are simply given that love of God in Christ Jesus abundantly for us to receive with great joy and with thanksgiving. For from that abundance of Christ's great love, we share that love with others. For that love of Christ only and ever grows. It is that love of Christ that gives us life, that gives us true healing, that gives us the greatest peace. And in that love of Christ, we press on in the midst of this season of Lent to meditate once more upon the work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross for us, for all, for our salvation. Amen. The peace that does pass all of our human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.